Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue talking about how God speaks to us according to his plans for a particular time and season. Now, that's for both globally and for his ages and eons, but also he chooses how and what he reveals himself to us individually, where we are in relationship to our own time frame. In other words, there's going to be times when God makes himself clear and obvious, and then there's other times when he withdraws and gives us the opportunity to pursue him. So we don't want to put God in a box in any way, shape, or form, either how he does things on a global scale, you know, for one age to the other, or expect that the way God has revealed himself, dealt with us, taught us, spoke to us, healed us in the past, he is under no obligation to repeat anything he's done in the past in your life. We may think, okay, this is the way God does things with me. He can change his mind. He can do something different tomorrow, today, a year from now. One of the fun things about our knowledge of what was written down for what, how Jesus reacted, interacted with people, especially in the healing arena, he never did the same thing twice. I don't think he wants us to come up with even the outside chance of formula or pattern. God's new every morning, and our relationship with him is new every moment. And this is one of the reasons we are spending some time thinking and talking about our own beliefs regarding the concept of time. God is not at all restricted by time. God created time, so he controls it. He can speed it up. He can reverse it. He can do whatever he wants as the creator. Now, you and I, spiritually speaking, in our spirit, are also creator. We have authority over time. We haven't learned how to exercise that authority. But as our soul comes into a greater and greater alignment, oneness with our spirit, we do start to experience redeeming the time, recapturing, making our past, our present, and future merge into oneness as we learn to exert authority as a joint heir and co-inheritor, one in God and with him. Now, we don't want to think that this is something we're going to be able to do to please ourselves, to make our own decisions about what this will look like, because that's not God's intent. Just like anything else that he has created, we are cooperating with him for the intent of what he's created. So we're not setting up our own kingdom, and we're not learning how to do these things for our own purposes. And yet, on the other hand, God does want us to take ownership. And mature decision-making, developing judgment. This is where we get confused about the concept of stewardship. You and I are not stewards. We are owners. This is another one of those things that's quite different in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. And yet, the New Testament was foreshadowed in the Old. Because we are joint heirs and co-inheritors, what Jesus has inherited, the kingdom, we have inherited in him, the kingdom. So our responsibility is not to be good caretakers of something that belongs to God, but to learn to manage our own inheritance. We will be partakers of the consequences of being good managers or bad managers. Now, what that looks like, I have no idea, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the next age is. We don't know what comes next as far as when we die. We think we do. But when we really start to look at our perceptions of, you know, heaven and hell, you know, that when we die we go to heaven, that doesn't really hold up to being a good explanation according to scriptures. And when we start looking at it, most of that is from literature. Other people's ideas of what happens after we die. And so as far as what comes next after we die, what I just kind of put that into is, let's not wait till then to find out if we're on the right track. Our life here should not be about what comes next. God has set things up so that for whatever it is, you and I will be ready. That's what our relationship with him is all about. Knowing him, being ready for whatever comes tomorrow, we will be ready for. We will be equipped. We will be trained. We will be ready. We may not feel like it. We may not think we are. But when we remember that God's purpose for our life here is not to be perfect, it's not to be mistake-free. It's to know him, to be healed, to allow him to engage with him as he heals us and removes our flesh and reveals where we're believing lies. There's areas in our lives we don't even have the foggiest idea where he's working right now. But he's doing it sovereignly. He's working in your life right now, sovereignly, on his own, with your full cooperation. Your spirit, who you truly are, your spirit being, is fully cooperating with God. In full understanding of the intent and the goal that he has set for you. But your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, which is where you are likely living, where most of us are spending most of our time is living out of our soul instead of our spirit. We don't want to carry those expectations and the goals of our soul and apply them to spirit. Now, the one thing that brings that unity between spirit and soul the fastest is time. How we spend it. And the more we master time, the more we exert authority over it. Not in a soulical strengthening manner, but with the goal in mind that as we bring our own, what we do have control over, how we spend our time cooperates automatically with God exerting authority over time in and through us. He's already doing it. So the more we join with him, the less we are resisting the change that he's already doing within us. We have choices as far as being cooperating with him or fighting against him. Now, I can probably guarantee that there's areas that we're all fighting our souls. Your soul, my soul, is fighting against God. He's fully aware of that. And it's not that he's winking and saying, well, that's okay. It's he's kind and gracious, and he knows that his work on us is in progress. He's got a time for what's, he knows what we need and when we need it. And he's on his own schedule. And one of our goals is to be on that same schedule. It's much easier to do things his way than to try to make him do things our way. For one thing, he's not going to. He's the God, and the sooner we learn that, the better. But as we, for our own lives, as we start to let go of trying to be timely beings, get caught up in the past and in the future, and be with him now, that I am presence that he is right now. He's right now with you, and you are right now in him. And the more we can learn to be with him in that moment, the more all those time issues basically evaporate. Because the eternal life that we can then experience, everything else fades away. Because there's nothing that compares with his presence, his eternal presence. And one of the areas we are looking at is our beliefs being changed. When we are insistent that this is the way God does something, and he starts putting his finger on that. Now, one of the ways we can tell that he's putting his finger on it is that we have some reaction when somebody talks about it, either negatively or positively. When it means something more than it should, there's either an agreement or in the disagreement when that discussion comes up. But God, time with him, reveals these things to us when he's ready to deal with them. If they're coming up in your life, he wants to talk to you about them, for better or for worse. And remember, wherever you are, that's fine. God brought you there. He arranged every circumstance in your life to bring you to whatever position, whatever situation you're in at any given time. He knows what he's doing, and we can trust his timing. So those are things that are going on with us as individuals. We can also see how he reveals himself to, you know, mankind in different eons, in different ages, and how we need to distinguish how he reveals himself differently and not mix, unless he says to, those manners of his revealing. For our purposes, we look at the two ages that we're in transition and moving into, the age of law and into the age of grace. And in the Bible, we could say that's the Old Covenant and the New Testament. And the more we can grasp and God make real to us the distinction between the Old Covenant of law and the New Testament of grace, the more these beliefs can be either reinforced or changed. God wants you to know truth because he is truth. Now, we're all in process of learning truth. But truth is not a doctrine. It's not a book. It's not a belief. It's him. We can learn true things, and we want to learn true things, and we want to do research, and we want to investigate, and we want to use the mind, the will, and the emotions that God gave us. As long as we understand that our soul cannot perceive spirit truth without God revealing it. So we have a tendency to draw conclusions on our own, and that is very often what is passed down generation to generation as spiritual truth. When they're really just solical truths. Again, fine with God. Until time is up. And he says, now I'm going to send you my son. And he's going to show you what truth really is. And he does that for us. Instead of just believing in Jesus, when you've experienced his love for you, it's a totally different reality. We are changed. Not by knowing, but by experience. So why is it important to understand time and how it affects us personally and on a bigger scale? Because understanding which age we live in affects our beliefs and therefore our behavior about how we relate to God, how we relate to others, both believers and non-believers, and even how we see ourselves. Again, if you understand that you are a spirit being, you will not be as trapped, and you'll be in the process of becoming free from the past and the future and be learning to live in the eternal now. So there's some things we need to understand about what really happened at the resurrection, what salvation really is. Through the crucifixion, Jesus paid the debt once and for all. It was a real debt. He removed all barriers through paying for all sins. At his resurrection, Jesus became the way to the Father. Period. When that happened, that was his purpose on this earth. And it finished. Jesus fulfilled the promise that God had made to the woman, that he would restore relationship. He established a new covenant. It's very important to note that the new covenant begins at the resurrection. Of what is written in the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what Christ himself taught was in fulfillment of the old covenant, the law, the requirements of the law, the law system, the promises of the law. So before the new covenant, his testament, Jesus' testament, could be initiated, the old had to be satisfied. Before we could have the new, the old had to be finished. Law had to be fulfilled. Through Jesus, through his coming and fulfilling and accomplishing the task his Father sent him here for, victory over sin came at the crucifixion. But it wasn't until the resurrection that we gained victory over self. Self is our soul doing things its own way, being its own God, striving to have its own life. Because of the New Testament, Jesus testifying that we are now in him, we can boldly come before the very throne of God with nothing to achieve or prove or keep. It's finished. Jesus finished it. So when we come before the throne of God, before our Father, however you want to picture that, when we are in his presence, it is finished. Our spirit is done, is complete in him. So we're under his grace. We're in it. Our success now is measured by how much we let Christ live through us, through our soul, and not how much we do for him or know about him, or worship him, or receive of him. There's no level of success. We are successful because we are in him. As far as God is concerned, when you became a spirit being, when you were born again, he checked that checkbox next to your name and shut the books. Your relationship with him in your spirit is complete. Nothing else has to be added. Your book is finished. Now, as individuals, our soul is in process. Our soul is being brought into oneness with our completed spirit. Under the old covenant, our righteousness, our ability to have relationship with God was only through fulfilling the law. It was all about how well we worshiped and gave and followed all the laws. Not just the Ten Commandments, but the hundreds of other precepts and guidelines and commandments and laws. But under the New Testament, our ability to have relationship with God is based solely and completely on being in Christ. If you are in Him, if you are in God, if you are in Christ, you are in God. Grace is receiving unconditionally what God gives unconditionally. So this New Testament, just like we have a last will and testament, went into permanent effect, death of the testator, the one who created the will to begin with, which was God. Now it was, you could say that the Son was the mediator. Now you can't have two covenants in effect at one time. You can't have two different claims on one promise. In other words, if you have a promise, there can't be two different ways of it being fulfilled if that promise says there's only one way to have it fulfilled. And the promise that God made was that He would fulfill it. And so He sent His Son to fulfill that promise. And He did it. So it can't be fulfilled on our terms. It can only be fulfilled on His terms. As our soul and body begin to line up with our new identity, spirit being, we come more and more out from under the law. Now in your spirit, again, you are not under the law at all, but your soul is and your body is as well. But in the meantime, the law continues to have an effect on our soul and body, as it does on those around us and everything else in the supernatural and natural realms. Now, the law is exactly what God created it to be. The law was never meant to bring you into a spirit relationship with God. The law was only meant to reveal that you needed a spirit relationship with God. Only God, through His Son, could bring you into that relationship. So in the spirit, we are no longer under the law. And this is now who we are. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. So though the law may affect or influence your soul and body, you are not under its control. You are learning instead to exercise authority. So we will pick it up here. We're going to talk a little bit more about how this applies to our relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others, and how we are then set free to live as spirit beings. We'll pick it up here next week. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to drop me a line either through Blog Talk Radio or through the website at therainersclub.org. You can also just email me at Diane@therainersclub.org. We'll get together again this same time next week, 6 o'clock. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.